Dear Prudence, help. My husband can't stand to watch me eat cheese. What was it that made your husband decide to hate cheese?
What is it about your husband that makes him such a dick?
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Hey, y'all got any more of that common sense? There is a lot of bad stuff going on in the world today.
It's because people, they keep touching each other and they keep having the droplets fly out of their face because they keep talking to one another and they won't stop. They won't stop grooming each other. Is that what it is?
Listen, coronavirus is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And we thought for this week's episode of the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast that maybe we would address it. And then we thought, wow, that sounds like such a huge drag.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about
Especially since somebody in my office stole my hand sanitizer and I want to throat punch that person.
So upset about this.
So when I talk about coronavirus, I want to punch all the people. And so it makes me very angry. And so you don't want me to talk about something when I'm very angry about it. So let's talk about something fun instead.
Yeah. So we were coming up with what should we discuss on this week's episode of the Common Sense Cast. And we thought it might be fun to revisit a time of yore when there were newspaper columnists who did regular advice columns.
Remember Dear Abby?
Do you remember Dear Abby? Wait. And was she a twin? Because there was like Ann Landers.
I think there's Ann Landers. And then was it Judy Landers?
Yeah. Or wasn't Abby wasn't she in that family?
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's like the Mandrell sisters. I get them all confused.
Oh my God. We're aging ourselves so
totally
hard right now.
They were so great.
I love the Mandrell sisters.
Right?
I love them.
We could totally do that.
So back in the days of yore, we also had Miss Manners, who taught us about etiquette. We had Emily Post. We had all these advice columns.
We totally need her now because nobody has manners.
Nobody has manners.
Why nobody's washing their hands, which is why everybody has the freaking coronavirus.
By the way, rule number one, as you're listening to this podcast, do not touch your face.
Don't touch your face.
We cannot stress this.
Just quit touching. You know you're touching it right now. Stop touching your face. Don't touch your neighbor's face. Don't. Quit touching your partner's face. Maka's touching my face.
Stop touching each other.
Stop touching your face.
Your own face or anybody else's face.
I just touched my face. After I touched your face,
It's really hard to not touch your face when people tell you to not.
I'm touching my face. I can't stop touching my face.
But in any case, that was a really good time when there were newspapers that you would get and you would read the advice columns. And it was kind of like, then it advanced to magazines that you often read as women. Like Cosmo had their own advice column, Glamour magazine.
Those were mostly about sex.
Yeah.
And mostly about your no-no.
Your no-no square. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't realize that this was a thing that even still existed in the world today. But thankfully, we have Slate.
Thank goodness for Slate.
Slate.com has a column, an advice column that they call Dear Prudence. And I believe that there are two people who answer questions that come into Dear Prudence, a man and a woman.
And they deliver, don't they?
They definitely do. And what's more is that the people offering their questions really deliver. Mm-hmm. And so we thought it might be fun not just to share some of the ridiculous questions that Slate is taking on in their stunning and brave way, but also to answer those questions ourselves in the way that two moms who lean conservative might answer them.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if this is a thing that people are interested in, being a regular type of segment.
Yeah, we'd love to offer it because I feel like this is a missing component of our current culture. And listen, we'll put it on the front end and then also on the back end. If you want to submit your questions, you know, or solicit our advice, right? You can always send your questions, your comments, whatever, to chicks@wibc.com.
W-I-B as in boy, C as in cat,
.com.
You can submit questions that way. You could also include them as part of a review.
Yeah, you could.
Like while you're giving us 5 stars on iTunes right now as you're listening to this, you could also, if you wanted to, include a question in a review.
Yeah.
So you could like write the nice things and then you could also include a question. Like for example, we got a review from Molly, who said, "You guys are amazing. I listen to you every chance I get. My coworkers think I'm nuts when I giggle where there's no one around or the room is quiet. It's like sitting with my besties, having drinks and conversation. Don't stop."
Yeah.
You could say something like that And then also submit a question much like this person did to Slate, where she wrote, "Dear Prudence, help. My husband can't stand to watch me eat cheese."
This
is real.
So this is real.
This is real.
Okay, so does she give any more details? So her husband...
She gives a little bit of details. However, you have to be a plus member of Slate in order to see the entire story.
Okay.
But we have a little bit of it.
All right. Now, her husband is lactose intolerant. He cut dairy out of his diet, which I can totally get on board with because I, too, don't eat a lot of the cheese.
Now, does your husband eat cheese?
No. Okay. My husband does not eat cheese.
So then you don't have this problem.
But listen, you eat cheese.
I love
cheese. So, like, if you and I were out at a restaurant and you were eating all the cheese, you just were ingesting all the cheese. And I was like, I want to throat punch her right now because she's eating all the cheese. You know, I feel like, I guess I could sort of understand where maybe
But do you don't get angry when people eat cheese around you just because you don't eat the cheese.
I don't. I kind of feel like there's an underlying issue here. I feel like he really is angry at her.
Well,
and not the cheese eating.
That's exactly right. So she writes, what we can see is that she wrote, "My husband recently asked if it would be possible for me to refrain from eating cheese when we share a meal or a snack at home together.
Yeah.
I'll usually sprinkle some goat cheese on a salad, have some Gruyere with some crackers during lunch."
Yeah.
And this has been very hard on him.
Yeah, I feel like this is not about the cheese.
There's something underlying here. Mm-hmm. And if we were Slate Plus members, we could know the whole story.
Yeah.
However, we are unwilling to spend any money on Slate.
But I also feel like if she would have written us, I would have said, listen, this is an underlying issue. Mm-hmm. It's not at all about the cheese.
What is this really about?
What is it about? What is it about?
What was it that made your husband decide to hate cheese?
What is it about your husband that makes him such a dick? What is it?
Because I guarantee it's not that he doesn't like seeing her eat cheese. It's that he doesn't like something about her.
Yeah, it's something about you and your chewing. He needs to get over it.
Yeah, for real. You know? I mean, this is the thing.
Yeah.
So that's just one example of the kinds of questions that are being asked to Prudence on Dear Prudence at Slate.com.
What else we got, Mock?
Okay, so I thought we would just choose. There was one that I saw that I thought was really interesting because it was about the relationships that people have in light of their political differences.
Okay. Oh, see, this is a big one that we get, you guys. And we've had lots of experience with this.
So the question is, help, Bernie versus Warren is tearing my friend group apart.
Mm.
So
they're arguing because some of the friend group is for Bernie Sanders, some is for Elizabeth Warren. I want no part of this group. I want no part. These people sound dreadful.
This group is being torn apart.
They're being torn apart, though. They're being torn apart because they're all a bunch of whiny socialists who don't like the other socialists. I don't understand.
Well, here's my advice to them would be, just realize you are all exactly the same.
You're basically the same.
You're the same people.
So hug it out. So just hug it out because you're all the same. But if you think about it, we actually have had a lot of experience with people getting mad over politics, like friends not being friends anymore with your friends because of political disagreements. In all seriousness, we have faced this question.
I faced it very early on,
but it had nothing to do with a conservative not being friends with a conservative anymore, or a right winger not being friends with a right winger. It was because my friend was liberal, and because we decided to start a site that was called Chicks on the Right, she was like, I can't be friends with you anymore because you're starting a site called Chicks on the Right. And that was, it was right when we first started.
Yeah.
We didn't even have people that read the site. And she was like, just because you're starting the site, we just can't be friends anymore because it doesn't line up with my ideology. And I have a feeling that you're probably going to be somewhat successful with this because I know who you are and you're probably going to do stuff with this. And we can't be friends anymore.
I mean, like a preemptive strike, right?
Before,
I mean, we hadn't even barely started the site. And she was like, well, I just feel like it's going to be successful. And so therefore, we got to end
this. And
that
was really tough for me. That was because she was a really good friend and I really loved her. And that was really tough. And I thought, okay, well, this sucks. And so we weren't friends anymore. And I thought, all right, well, okay. And so that was the first of several in a long line of people who, I just had one last week, a friend of mine from high school on Facebook who just, he just out of the blue started fighting with me over just dumb stuff. And we had been friends for a long time on Facebook. And he just decided, I think that was the last straw. He just couldn't deal with it anymore. He couldn't deal with the fact that I was a conservative. Just, you know, people just do that. And he just up and said, I can't be friends with you anymore. And I said, okay. And a lot of it is just whether or not people, you know, they, I think they stick around for a while and then they just decide I can't deal anymore. So listen, people can either get over their differences. They can be adults about it or they can't. And so I just either, you know, I say these people are willing to put the energy in to be friends with you because they love you and they're willing to be friends with you, or they're not. And that's that.
Yeah. Well, it's really tough, and it's really something that's a huge issue right now. Because I know my mom, for example, my mom doesn't speak to one of her sisters, and it's over politics. And her sister isn't even an American. Like, this Polish sister, right?
That's ridiculous.
Who has nothing to do with American politics, but because my mom is conservative, they cannot have any kind of discussion without it turning political.
Yeah.
And so I guess if I was like legit going to write back a piece of advice or an advice column answer for someone who's having trouble with a friend over politics, I would just point to people who actually do this successfully, like the James Carvels and Mary Madelines of the world, people who actually can have relationships with each other that are based on something other than political discussions.
Yeah.
And actually, in their case, you know they're having all the political discussions.
Totally.
But they have a foundation that's much deeper than that.
Yeah.
And so if you find yourself, even with your friend group, if that's all you're talking about and that's what's ripping you apart, don't talk about that.
Yeah. And there's more to life than politics.
Yeah.
There's way more to life, period. And if that's all your friendship is based on, then you're probably not that great of friends.
That's the thing.
You know?
If that, and I do think a lot of it, too, I mean, especially in the case with your high school friend just recently on Facebook, that was, he's not somebody that you would consider like a friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's an acquaintance from
high school. More of an acquaintance from high school.
And it's somebody that you are still connected with online, mm-hmm. but not in life.
And you're right.
Because I think a lot of times people will have online fights that they would never dream of having face to face because you do get that sense of keyboard courageousness.
Totally.
And so you just say different things and you know that you've got like a big audience potentially. And so you just, your interactions are different than they would be face to face.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I would say to anybody that's having political struggles with friends or other relationships is just, why are you focusing on that?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's a big, like, I also wonder, I'm curious about Carvel and Madeline, about how they do it, how they, what their, and because they do it as work, you know, the politics is both of their jobs. And so I wonder if that's what got them together or if something else brought them together and that just happens to be what they both
do.
Probably on opposite sides.
They probably did meet through work. But at the end of the day, these people are, they are together because of a foundation of love. I mean, I saw her in an interview, Mary Madeline, and they asked something. I can't remember what the specific question was, but she's at the very end of the interview, she said, I love the way he loves us. Mm. And it was about her. She was saying that about her and her daughters. And I thought that says it all, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they're together. They're together because it has not. When you're on your deathbed, you're not sitting there going, oh my gosh.
Bernie would have been a great president.
Right? You're not talking about politics, for crying out loud. You're talking about the people that are in your inner circle who are there for you in the crappy moments and the thick and thin. They're the people who have your back the most, right? You're not talking about politics. I mean, it's just so dumb, right?
It is dumb, but at the same time, so much of it is kind of the underbelly of things that you believe fundamentally.
It's true. I get you. Value systems. That's why when we first started talking about this, and we're talking about like the Sanders people and the you know, and the Biden people or whoever, Sanders people and the Warren people, those are not really my people because I don't believe in the things they believe in because I'm not a freaking socialist, you know? Right. So those are probably not my people because you're right. I don't share the same values as them. I get it. But at the same time, if you are with somebody, you're not talking about politics 24/7.
Right.
You know?
Even we don't. I mean, like you and I had lunch yesterday and I don't think we mentioned it once.
No, we don't because our relationship is based on us and friendship. And we talk about kids and stuff like that. At the end of the day, I don't want to talk about politics with you.
Yeah.
I want to, how's your kid? How's your husband? Mm-hmm. You know, how are your parents? What's going on? Mm-hmm. How are you?
Yeah.
You know, and that's how people should be with one another. We shouldn't be talking about politics all the time. So hopefully that's good advice.
Yeah. And hopefully it's advice not just to people who are fighting over the difference between Bernie and Elizabeth Warren.
Because there is none.
They're literally the same person. Only one is an old white dude. Mm-hmm. And then Elizabeth Warren is no longer running.
Yeah.
So there are the main differences.
Really comfortable shoes.
All right. So just to give you an example of the kinds of questions that we hope to encounter from our own listeners, because listen, they span the full range of all different kinds of things.
Yeah.
There's one that says, help, I think I'm getting too close with my work husband.
Work husband. So that's an interesting thing, right? People have work husbands and real husbands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never really had that because I guess I was a contractor, although I did meet my husband at work. You know, it's so funny.
Yeah,
I never really did the whole, like, you know, like date people at work thing, because I got out of there before, because I was like, okay, he's cute, but I'm going to get the heck out of here and then go someplace else. So I was a contractor. I just was never a full-time person. But the whole work husband thing, because I think of the show The Office. Mm. And what are their names? Is it Jim?
Jim and Pam.
Yeah. And people, I don't know. I never did that. Did you ever do that?
No, because I've been married since I was like 7.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, and I never had a work husband in the same way that this person asking Dear Prudence had, where, you know, there's one guy who she works very closely with. And so they have this very close working relationship, and you end up talking about your family.
Totally.
You end up talking about, you know, venting about problems that you're having personally or professionally.
But you get so close to those people because you're with them sometimes more than you are your own family.
Yeah. And that, because of the time. I mean, when you think about how much time you spend at work, I can see that it'd be very easy to develop feelings for someone who you're working with 8 or more hours a day.
Yeah.
Very, very closely. So her question to Prudence was, is it possible to have a work spouse many miles away who you can develop feelings for? And how do you suggest handling those feelings? He's not married, but I very much am. So quitting my job isn't an option. To be honest, I don't want to stop talking to him. He understands me and my workload better than my husband ever could. What do I do?
Well, he understands your workload, but that's work.
And she's already, like, she's in this. You know what I mean? Like, I read that letter and I think this
quitting
is a woman
who's
already in an extramarital emotional relationship.
Yeah, because she's like, quitting my job is not an option. Why? Why is it not an option? Because that's what I would say. I'd say quit your job.
I mean, if you're having the feelings.
Yeah, quit your job.
That's a little sketch, right?
Yeah.
I mean, unless somehow she's just able to turn those off or like figure out a different working relationship or a different department or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're already worried enough to send in a letter to an advice columnist.
You're there.
You're in this. Uh-huh. Like, she's basically saying, I need permission to keep having these feelings. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're
That's the way that I read
you're
it.
You're right.
That's the way that I... Now, here's one I thought was hilarious because it says, help. Dogs are dirty, needy, and expensive. My fiance wants at least 3 of them. What do I do?
Oh my God, that fiance.
You get a new fiance.
Yeah, right. Because it's not going to work.
This is not hard.
If you're saying they're dirty, needy, and expensive.
You're the one that is dirty, needy, and expensive.
What? Yeah, really? She sounds like a drag. This chick sounds like a drag.
If you're not allergic to dogs,
right?
You just need to like dogs.
Like, who are you?
Like, figure that out.
What is your problem?
Get yourself some therapy.
And also,
and start liking dogs.
What is she going to do when he wants to have kids? You know what's needy, dirty, and expensive? Kids, man. That's what's needy, dirty, and expensive. I mean, has she ever heard of like paying for college and like, and all the sports crap you have to buy and they throw up on you and they have like blowouts in their diapers? I mean, geez, this woman, has she ever heard of kids?
Well, maybe they're just in their 20s and so they're not thinking about it yet.
Has she ever babysat?
Actually, this is a dude that wrote the letter. So it's
it's a dude.
The fiance is the girl that wants the dogs.
Oh my God.
He doesn't want the dogs.
He obviously has never heard of kids. He's in for a rude awakening.
He says, they're incredibly expensive, dirty, and needy, and I don't want us to be tied down in our 20s because of a small creature that we have to constantly babysit.
Good Lord.
I would rather reserve that for our actual human children.
This guy's never been around a baby. Ever.
He says, this is the only sort source of disagreement in our relationship. Oh. Is it absurd to break up over differing dog
it's
desires?
The only source of this is the only source. Just wait, dude. She needs to totally dump this guy. Dump him. I would wear a shirt if I were her best friend. I'd wear a shirt that says "Dump him already." That's what I would do.
Now, see, I feel I would be
really
different. Yeah, I would have
would
a little bit more patience.
I don't have any
but
patience.
I would also be exposing this guy to dogs at literally every opportunity.
And so many babies.
Well, he wants babies, just
really?
Not yet.
Does he?
Yeah, I mean, he says he'd rather reserve that for his actual human children.
Mm, okay.
So I would just be exposing him to just irresistible puppies and like letting him smell their feet, because you know how puppies have that smell.
Yeah.
I mean, even adult dogs have that foot smell.
Yeah, but even you haven't raised puppies.
No, but I love them.
But they're work.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. I would never have a puppy.
They are expensive and they're dirty and they crap all over the house. And it's just like, this guy is, he needs to, 10 years. This guy needs like 10 years of growing up.
How do you write an advice column letter over something like that?
Yeah, this guy sounds like a total wuss. I can't.
That is a crazy one. Okay, here's I don't even understand what I'm seeing here, but there's another question that says, help, do I have to tell my siblings that our dad is dead?
What? What's even happening?
What?
What's happening?
I mean, Slate, man. This is Slate.
The answer to that is yes.
I mean,
that's the answer.
We don't even have to read the description of the letter.
I feel like the answer to that is yes.
I feel like maybe that's the right thing to do, is to share that information with your actual siblings.
Yeah, you call them immediately.
Here's one about some woman whose husband is clearly racist. She says, help, my husband is proud that his DNA test doesn't show any black in him.
Oh, God.
Is bragging about the results racist?
Oh, my God. Okay.
I mean, they're very smug, apparently, about the fact that their DNA results show that they have no black in them.
Yes, you are racist.
Yeah.
That would make you racist.
Is she crazy to be so worried about the fact that her husband is this racist?
You know, I was very excited to find out that I had, like, Viking in me. I was super excited about it.
Did it really say Viking?
It didn't say Viking. It said Scandinavian. So I obviously, like, just equated that to Viking. And so I basically said to my husband, you remember the movie, like, Wonder Woman, the new Wonder Woman movie? I'm basically like those Amazon women that, like, kicked all the Nazi ass in that one scene.
You totally are exactly like
that. I mean,
them.
I just made all the correlations. I went from, like, A to B to Z. That's what I did. And I'm like, I'm basically an Amazon woman. I kick all the Nazi
because
ass.
What was the percentage? Do you remember your percentage?
I don't know. It was like 40% or something. It was like 40%. And so I'm like, so basically I'm that. And that's what I've taught my daughter that. This is what I've done now. I'm like,
not a terrible lesson.
I'm like, your mommy is like those women in the Wonder Woman movie. So that's your blood. So you're like an Amazon woman in the Wonder Woman movie. So this is what she believes now. This is what I'm teaching my daughter.
I do think in this particular case, this woman should be a little concerned that her husband is this excited. Like, that is kind of racist.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's totally racist.
And so now you've got a little bit of an idea of how we might answer or take on these kinds of questions. And we do encourage you to share your own questions with us at the email address that we gave earlier, chicks@wibc.com, or via an iTunes podcast review, which you're probably already working on, saying all the nice things on iTunes. For example, Fuel with Spark said, love y'all. But now I've got some crazy shit in my browser history from looking up the fetishes these California kids are learning in elementary school. I am washing my eyes with soap as we speak.
Blood play. Hashtag blood play.
Did you know that there was some guy on our Instagram who was fighting with me about not being able to find any sources for the blood play information? And he was like, I can't find anything that says this is real news. And I was like, well, maybe you need a lesson in Google. And he was like, well, send me a link. So I sent him like three. And I was like, this is literally, I typed in
blood
California
play.
Sex ed blood play. And then there was all the information. I don't know why this is
and
hard.
And what did he say after you sent
he
him the link?
He responded.
Yeah. He was like, thanks for looking that up on your computer.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to these iTunes reviews where you're going to submit your questions and your wonderful comments. Ma Anita wrote, I love all your shows. My husband wanted me to give you gals up for Lent because I'm so addicted to you.
Oh,
but I would have failed the first day. Can't get enough. Please make your once a week podcast longer. It's way too short for people addicted to your humor.
That was really sweet.
So nice.
You guys say the nicest things. Thank you.
Please keep saying them.
Yeah, please keep saying
them. And writing all of the reviews.
Because that helps us out. And then our bosses at Radio America really like that. So please keep
only this time, instead of just saying nice things, you can also ask questions about whether or not it's weird when you eat cheese.
Yeah.
So make sure to do that when you're not catching us on this podcast or on our regular radio show on WIBC.com.
Yes, it's fantastic. You guys, where can you find all the things? Let's see, Instagram at Chicks on Right, where you can fight with us about where
how to use Google,
because we'll fight with you. And then also a Twitter, the 13th Circle of Hell at Chicks on Right. You can find us on Facebook. Every morning we do a Facebook Live around 7:45 Eastern Time, Facebook Chicks on the Right. And then we have a Facebook group too. You have to answer two questions. Actually, one question to get in there.
Yeah, all you have to know is our real names. Super easy.
Yeah, we're not going to give you the answers because if you don't know that by watching this, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
And it's not like it's hard to look up.
Yeah.
Literally,
really
Google,
easy.
Unless you're that guy on Google who couldn't find blood play.
Super easy to look
up. You shouldn't have any trouble.
Yeah. And then where else can they find us, Mom?
Well, the biggest place is our website, chicksontheright.com. You want to definitely check in there at least once a day to catch up on all of the great content that we put out there. And then, of course, subscribe to this happy little podcast, the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Yes. You guys have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.